Praise God. We, on Sunday, we were talking about planting, correct? And we've talked about the knowledge of Him and only the beginning, and, you know, we're discussing the importance of what we plant, how we plant. And I don't know how many of you have tuned in to the fasting from wrong thinking devotions of Brother Dick Al, but you know it is, it's so important that we come to understand that, you know, planting, we're going to get a harvest from what we plant. And we want to make sure that we're planting good things because we want to harvest good things, correct? Amen. And when we understand that we can harvest good things by planting good things, then we'll be more aware of planting good things, and we won't have to spend all of our time worrying about planting bad things, because we will naturally plant good things. We'll naturally do the thing that is best for us. And the Word of God is a wonderful seed. And as we've discussed, you know, it just continues to speak to me about the idea that Jesus, if everything that He had said were written down, nobody would get through everything that He had said. But enough seed to get us to seek what He says, and we can't get through everything that He says. Now, I want to take some brief detours that will really be along the road that we're going, but Paula had written me an email and asked about something. I had mentioned that my nephew was going to a prophetic classes at their church, and that basically what they do with those prophetic classes is encourage people in the prophetic or in growing up their prophetic gifts. And the bottom line of it is that we all are prophetic. If we hear the voice of God, we are prophetic. Now, it doesn't make us necessarily prophets, but we all prophesy. If we speak what the Lord is speaking to us and we speak it into someone else's life, then we have prophesied into their life. We have spoken the word into their life. And so what they have in this large church is the opportunity for people to get a hearing ear for what God says, and then to learn to speak it out, because in large church services and structures, they don't have opportunity for everyone that has something to say to get up and say it. They don't have opportunity if there is a moment in the worship where the Spirit of God is moving on someone's heart where they stand up and prophesy. And some would say, well, you can't be quenching the Spirit of God, and I sort of agree with that, but on the other hand, there's a lot of other spirits that spook around too, and you don't want to just let everything fly simply because of the fact that then you would spend all of your time trying to direct or correct the word. If you have 8,000 people in a service and somebody pours out a seed that is not proper, it's very hard to get that back. And so they just don't allow that in that. But at the same time, they recognize the need for people to hear God. And so it's not, the prophetic is not something that is, you know, a woo-woo weird thing. You know, the Bible says there are gifts of the Spirit, and some there's miracles and tongues and interpretation and prophecies and that, and there are different, as they call them, unctions of it. You know, you can call it a goose or the ghost, you can call it whatever you want. Sometimes the Spirit of God wells up in you to the place where you've got to say something. And we're fortunate to be in a small family place where we can say something. and begin to use that. Now, the thing about it is not to limit it to the structure. The idea of the prophetic really is that we be built up in our most holy faith and we begin to hear God for other things so that we can speak a prophetic word of healing into someone's life out on the street. So that you can speak life into someone without mentioning the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying hold back the name of Jesus. But what I'm saying is that when we are out in the kingdom of God, we can speak life all the time. And if we're tuned into the voice of God, then we'll be tuned in and willing to put that out. And whenever you hear God and you speak forth what God has said, you are being prophetic. And so you can tune that in. I think, you know, Bernie at one time was talking about how he was practicing on rabbits and anybody else that walked by. He was speaking the word out. He was speaking out, and what he was speaking out were things that were coming into his spirit. He was speaking out the word. He was practicing the word. He was basically practicing prophecy. Because when we speak into someone's life, we are prophesying life. And so, from time to time, we're just going to take detours talking about those gifts so that we're reminded of them, so that we will continue to develop those, because the Bible says that we should desire spiritual gifts. That we should desire to have them flow through us, because it is the gifts of the Spirit, it's the anointings of the Spirit that transform people's lives. And we need to be transformed here, but there's a lot more people out there that need to be transformed as well by a word of life. Now, on Sunday we briefly also mentioned, and I just wanted to bring it back up, and that is in speaking of the Holy Spirit and in speaking of the idea that Jesus said that if you speak against God, it'll be forgiven. You speak against me, it'll be forgiven. But you speak against the Holy Spirit, it won't be forgiven. Now, the reason for that being is that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. So if we're going to speak against the truth, then it's not going to be forgiven us if our last breath is speaking against the truth. God sent Jesus and he said, "Believe in my Son." Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and said, "Hear him." And so if we will listen to the Holy Spirit will correct us in resisting God, will correct us in resisting Jesus Christ, and will lead us into all truth. If we resist the Spirit, then we won't come to the Father through Jesus the Son. And we will then miss the mark. We don't want to miss the mark. We don't want to miss the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus, because in fact, it's true, Jesus will return one day. And people are going to be doing as they did in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, eating, drinking, and being merry. There isn't going to be something that is going to be a great big warning. But we aren't going to have to worry about the warning because we're going to be ready. But the fact is that one day, and it could be today, it could be tonight, it could be tomorrow morning, it could be 1,000 years from now. But when Christ returns, will he find faith? Will he find us believing? Will he find us trusting him? Will we find us, when we're singing about his amazing love and being caught in it, but that song just sort of came out of, I had asked the youth group, they were singing a song, "I could sing of your love forever." And I asked them, "What do you know about his love?" And Becca said, "It's amazing, and you can get caught up in it." And I said, "That's perfect. That's where we need to live, caught up in his love." Because if we're caught up in his love, then that love's going to pour out of us. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given to us. But to be caught up in that love, to allow ourselves the luxury of being caught up in his love. Because until we are caught up in his love, it's very difficult for us to spread that love. when we're caught up in it, when we're convinced of it, when we're assured of it, now we're at ease. And we need to cease to be caught up in the world's ways or the world's understandings of love, because the world doesn't understand love. God understands love. And God teaches us about love. And so we have to set aside all of those other misconceptions and all of those mishandled loves. We have to just set that all aside. I have to forget about that and take up this new thing. And when we were singing on Sunday, when we were singing the song, "I Want to Sit at Your Feet, Drink from the Cup of Your Hand," I just had such a strong sense of, yes, that's what I want. I want to drink from the cup in your hand. And it's really interesting to me the way that the Lord can pour truth into me during a time when we're still singing a song, the way that He can make it so real and it isn't distracting, but I'm just beginning to know things. And the reason that that just spoke to me so much, and I sought Him more about it later, was, why did I have such a sense of that, Lord? And it was because of the fact that that's the cup I want, the one that's in His hand. I don't want to drink the cup that He drank. I cannot drink the cup that He drank. Only He could drink that cup. Only He could. But if you think about it, the quote, church world has spent a lot more time focused on the one that He drank than on the one that He offered. They've been confused and sort of tried to make them both the same thing, that the cup that He offered us was the same cup that He drank out of, but He didn't. He offered us a cup of a new and better covenant. The cup that He drank, He didn't even want to drink. When they came to arrest Him and Peter was going to cut off actually, He told him, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father is giving me?" His cup. That was His cup. But I want to drink from the cup that's in His hand, because the cup that He offers us is the cup of the new and the better covenant. Just look, for instance, at right now. We are in the church world season of Lent. Okay? What does it focus on? It focuses on sinfulness, and it focuses on the cross. We are in the season of celebrating His resurrection. And how much time is spent focused on His resurrection, and how much time is spent focused on His cross? He's always on the cross. It's always His suffering. Now, God forbid, I do not want to forget about His suffering, but I don't want to dwell on it, because He didn't dwell on it. When the Apostle Paul said, "I know nothing except Christ and Him crucified," it was so important that the people understood that He was crucified. And crucifixion ended in death, because they had to continue to stress that so that people would not buy the story that He never really died and that the disciples took Him off. He said, "I know that He was crucified. I know that He died. I know that He was buried. But up from the grave He arose." Now, never forgetting that He suffered for us, but let's not forget that He came to give us life. There's two cups. Just like there's a way of life and a way of death, there's always two cups. There's the cup of suffering, and there's a cup of covenant. In everything, there's a cup of suffering, and there's a cup of the covenant. I want to drink from the cup in His hand, because the cup of His covenant has my healing, has my provision, has my protection, has my direction, has everything that I need. It was a new covenant that He gave us, and that's the cup in His hand, not the cup that He drank. Now, I know I'm repeating myself, but you know something? Sometimes we have to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it before it settles in and takes up its place. Otherwise, it can sit out there where the birds can get it. Or it can get to where it gets just a little root, but then something comes and gets it out. Or it can get to where it grows pretty good, and then weeds can come and destroy it. But if it's set in there, and we are settled on the fact that I am choosing the cup in His hand, now I am prepared in every circumstance. Because the cup in His hand has my answers. The cup in His hand has what I need. And He doesn't withdraw it from me. He doesn't take it back from me. He doesn't tease me with it. He doesn't say, you know, well, do just a little bit more and then you get a sip. No. It's a cup in His hand. This is a cup of a new and better covenant. Keep it on your own shelf. Keep it available. Put it to use. Always choose it. I set before you the way of life and death. The cup that He drank was death. And if we get caught up in drinking His cup, we're going to die. But we're not Him. And so drinking from the cup of death is not going to get us resurrected. Drinking from the cup of life, drinking from the new and better covenant, brings us to life. See, if we could drink His cup, He wouldn't have needed to. Father, if it be possible, make them all drink this cup and I'll come on home.
We were already there. We were drinking then.
Yeah. But you see, He was the only one that could drink His cup. He was the only one because it was made for Him. It was the cup that His Father had given Him. It was a cup so that everybody else would not have to drink that cup. That everyone else would be delivered into a new and better covenant. The idea, it's interesting that probably for centuries, but at least quite often, people have been so caught up in, you know, the picture of identifying with His death. But God forbid that we should really identify with His resurrection. Say something about it, yes. But, I mean, you know, don't get carried away. His death is real. Just keep dying. Get up on the cross. Imagine yourself hanging there with Him. Why? I can't hang with Him. He said, you pick up your cross and follow me. Your cross ain't no problem. You can't carry my cross. You can't drink my cup. Don't try to drink my cup. If somebody could actually drink His cup, then they become proud of the way they could drink His cup. And that happens. Religious pride rises up because I have suffered. If somebody suffers, it's because they chose to. Now don't misunderstand. I know that there is a suffering. There are trials and there are tribulations. You know? But we don't have to sit in them. They may come, but we don't have to sit in them. We don't have to camp in them. We should not camp in them, not when He has offered us His cup of a new and better covenant. The only reason that I even suggest that we need to see two cups is so that we can see that there is the cup of the new and better covenant. That there is life. And that we choose life because we have to choose life in order to make life. In order to go out wherever we are and live the life that God has intended us to, we've got to partake of it. In order to be more than conquerors, we've got to be more than conquerors. In order to have the joy of the Lord be our strength, we've got to have the joy of the Lord. We have life, we'll spread life. There will be just little bits of life sprinkling everywhere that we go. There'll be little bits of life coming out. And it will be life that will get on people unaware. There'll just be something about that. Something about that. You know, there was something about about Jesus that attracted people. Something about him. Well, yeah, the fact that everybody got healed that came around him was helpful. But it wasn't just that. It was life. He was speaking words of life. The words that I give to you, I speak to you, they're life. That was one of the things they said, wow, what's with this guy? He speaks as somebody that has authority. You speak as someone who has authority. You have authority in this world. You have authority in this kingdom of God. You have authority to speak against death and sickness and lack and sadness and whatever. You've got authority to speak against it. You've got the authority to make a demand on God's promises. You have the authority to make a withdrawal on his account. You don't go into the bank and ask them if you could please make a withdrawal on your account, do you? I mean, you should have, we have manners, you know, we say, you know, I'd like to withdraw from my account, but you don't go in and say, who do I check with to see if I could get some money out of my, is it a good day for me to get some money out of my account? You know, if it's not a good day, I'll just come back. Not if you got money in the account, you don't go in there that way, do you? No. You got there for a purpose. You got there to make a withdrawal. And if they say, we're sorry, this is not a good day, you're going to make a demand on that account. You're going to encourage them, you better make it, find a way to make this a good day. How can it not be a good day? Now, if you happen to have more money than the bank normally carries, be a little understanding, you know. I mean, if you happen to have more money than they normally have in cash, give them a few minutes to get you up a check to go to a different bank. But most of us would be safe at not overdrawing everything that's in the bank on most days. So we would think that when we went there, that I'm making a demand upon my account. And this is what the Lord says that we can do. That's not being, you know, demanding on God like God. It's God's call to us saying, ask me. Make a demand on what I've promised you. This is part of the cup of the new covenant. The cup in His hand. The cup that says, this is what is for you. As we begin to have that confidence and we begin to demand life, as we begin to command the angels, as we begin to understand, you know, I mean, that was a great word that Paula shared that Bernie had about that the breakthrough comes with the revelation. Is that right? Do I have that right? You know? The revelation brings the breakthrough. The breakthrough comes. The revelation. It's when it's in our heart, it can't be stopped. And so we get those things in our hearts. Just like where my nephew was going, and he said he was kind of surprised because the first thing that they did was they just talked to them about hearing God. Take a verse of Scripture and hear what revelation God will give you about that Scripture. And ended up, I think he said there were about 30 people there rather than the 25. There were about 30 people there, I think, that he said. And he said that they were supposed to each find 6 things about that one verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he thought that he probably had them all. Until everybody had 6. And there weren't very many overlapping. Different things coming. Things coming forth, you know. When we talked on Sunday about the seeds, after church, Vicki Slager mentioned to me that the thing that spoke to her about was the volume of the voice of God. Basically, what it will do is it is going to run in equal proportion to the volume that we hear God with and the volume in the amount of the volume. And to you it said what, Vicki?
No, not that we let the Spirit work in me, will be how much of the volume my ears actually hear.
Okay.
So the more I let God's Spirit work in my heart and work through me, then I will start hearing Him clearly.
Right, the more that you let it in, the more that you'll hear Him. See, so then a seed goes out and produces another section. And so then that word keeps going out. See, because it's alive. It's alive. If we're taking the cup of the new covenant, now we have life and we are more inclined to life. We're more inclined to choose life. Doesn't mean that we will never drink from that other cup. Doesn't mean that we will never somehow revert. Doesn't mean that anything will happen. But what we have to do is quit being so comfortable with taking the wrong cup. We have to quit making excuses for sipping out of the wrong cup. We have to get angry at it, like when Judy said sickness comes and she'd just get angry. But fear would come and she'd get fearful. And God wanted her to just be angry at it, right? You know? And so then if we get angry rather than, well, that's just me and, you know, I had three or four pretty good days, so I should have a bad day. You know, if we console ourselves that way, we'll never get over that. We'll never set that aside. We will continue on the three or four good days. It's pretty good. I think I'll, you know, take a day. Well, it just doesn't work that way. We don't ever want to take a day. We may find ourselves in a moment, but we want to rescue that moment. We wouldn't let a child drown for a little while in the swimming pool. We would get that child out in a hurry, wouldn't we? So, isn't it silly for us to stand on the edge of the pool and watch ourselves drown for a little while before we pull ourselves out? You see, and we have the life-saving utensils. We have the rescuing, the perishing. We have the rope hanging right there all the time to grab, to pull us out. And so there are two cups, and the only reason that we even want to make mention that there are two cups, remember, is because we want to always take the good cup. And realize that other cup is there to tempt us. That other cup is there to steal from us. That other cup is there to get us to do things we were never intended to do. We were never intended to drink the Lord's cup. Never. That cup was His. It was His from the beginning. And that's why Jesus said, "Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Because if He didn't drink it, then it would be there and we would be drinking it. But it just couldn't be that way. It had to come to an end. The time had to come. It was spoken by the prophets. It was prophesied into being that He was going to come. It was prophesied. It was spoken that He was going to come and what He was going to do, and that was how it was going to go, so that we would see a great light. And we would have that cup of the new covenant and settle for nothing less. That's what we have to walk into, is that place where we settle for nothing less than what Jesus rose for us to have. Life. That we would always choose life, and life is good, and light is good. And we're not intended to have. We were not created to suffer. All who would live godly will suffer persecution. Persecution will come at them, but were they supposed to suffer? No, it's going to come at them. Tribulation is going to come at them, but were we created to endure that? Were Adam and Eve made for any manner of suffering? No. And when they gave over the rights to the earthly kingdom to the enemy, suddenly they had to start making a living by the sweat of their brow. And it was not fun. They weren't built for that. They were made for the kingdom of heaven. You were made for the kingdom of heaven. You were made for the new and better covenant. You were made to have life and to give life. Death was not intended to have any part in our lives. Death should have no sting in our lives. Therefore, we should not sting any other life with death. Grave has no victory in our life because we have the life that is in Christ. I was reading an article today, and that the thing that was mentioned about that was Jesse Duplantis. People who've actually died and gone to heaven and came back, they never had any awareness of leaving their body. They never had an awareness that they weren't in their body until they went to try to grab something. And Jesus said that the body was just asleep. The body was asleep. He called the spirit forth in the young gal, but the body was asleep. Our bodies were made for the kingdom of God. We were made to be able to stand in the presence of God. We were made to be able to endure the life that is in Christ Jesus. Without Christ, no one could stand in God's presence. But with Christ, we can. We can stand life. I can stand life. Can you stand life? Yeah, we can stand life. Don't we feel better when we are in the presence of life? And we don't like to be in the presence of death. We don't like it when the symptoms of death are on us. We don't like depression. We don't like oppression. We don't like sickness. We don't like worry. We just weren't built to handle it, were we? And that's why we're supposed to pass it on. And that's why when we are in life, we're all better. We feel better. We look better. We're better to be around. Amen? Okay. And that's how the Lord wants us to be, having drank that cup. And how difficult is that, to drink the cup of the new covenant? How hard is that? How big, how much do you have to work yourself up to take a glass of water? Living water. None at all. It's there for us. He said, this is the cup of the new and better covenant. This is the cup of the blood that was shed for you. Take and drink it, and as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Remember what I did. I rose. He was telling them in advance. When you drink this from now on, just remember what it gets you. It's a better covenant. They knew about the covenant. They knew about it. They knew about the promises. They knew about the blessings. They'd grown up going, where are the blessings of Abraham? Where's all the cool stuff that they did for Joseph? Where's the God of Moses? Where is all the cool stuff? And Jesus said, forget that stuff. Here's the really cool stuff. Here's the new and better covenant. So, choose the cup of life. I set before you the way of life and the way of death. I set before you a seed to choose the cup of the new and better covenant, to recognize that other cup's not ours. Stay away from it. Hands off. It's not for you. It's not for you. It will have an effect on you that you can't stand. Only Jesus could. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can handle your pain. Only Jesus can handle any suffering. Only Jesus can handle financial needs. Only Jesus can really handle those things. We can't. We weren't meant to. He never intended that, you know, you do all you can do and then I'll pick up the rest. No. He wanted us to do everything together. He wanted us to be one. He wanted to operate to us and through us. He wanted us to operate together. We can't handle it. We aren't intended to. We need to cast our cares upon Him, and then, as He said, take my yoke upon you, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's do this together. Everything. 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 He didn't say, cast your big cares upon me. He didn't say, cast the cares upon you that you can't handle. He said, just cast them all on me. You're just not made to handle them alone. And if you and I, if we will just trust Him and put things in His hands, we'll begin to see the way things were intended to function in the kingdom of God. And that's easy. I mean, it is. It's easy. It's as easy as doing it. It's as easy as, it's like, you know, you tell students to hand in their papers. It's easy to hand in the paper. Unless they don't have it done. It's easy for us to do this because it's already been done for us. There's two cups. There's that cup that makes us yielded children, friends, lovers of God. Father, that's the cup that we choose to drink from. The cup that always gives us life, the cup that always energizes us, the cup that always gives us hope, the cup that gives us confidence, the cup that gives us assurance, the cup that just keeps us smiling, confident that you have heard and that you have answered and that truly we have a revelation that brings the breakthrough. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you that our receivers would be so sensitive that the tiniest, tiniest word from you would be amplified like a microphone in a canyon. In Jesus' name, amen.